My name is Diane Berry, and we're going to talk about faith arising with purpose in the workplace. And I just wonder, well, before I start, I just really feel like God wants me to tell you all something. That He loves you. And that you are so precious to Him, and you are so valued by Him. I think sometimes when we're women who are moms and work and grandmoms and we do so much, and sometimes I think we need to just hear sometimes, you know what, God loves me and I'm valued. Maybe the world doesn't value me, but God values me. I just really sense in my heart that He wants every woman here to know that you are valued by God. I'm just curious, how many are work full time? Wow. How about part time? How many work part time? Okay. What time, just kind of throw out, what time does your day usually begin? So getting ready. Even getting ready for work. Six. So about how many hours? I mean, if you think about it, we work 8 hours at work. We have to get to work, and we have to get ready to work. And it's like, wow, we spend a lot of time as working women just doing the work, getting ready, going to work, and being at work. So I believe God has a word for us. I really do. I believe this is the heart of God. I believe that He's taken notice of women who work. I really do. I believe that He wants to strengthen you this morning. There's many reasons why women work today. Some choose to work because they have a career. They want to. They're going for it. And then there are some women who have to work because of finances. We find ourselves that we must work. We have no choice. We have to work in order to help with the needs around the home. But whatever reason that you go to work, I believe that God has a word for you this morning. Now, this is interesting. I went and Googled statistics on women at work, and I thought this was some interesting information that you might be interested in. But women, it says over 65% of the U.S. women work outside the home. Over 65%. According to Business Women's Network, there has been an increase from 20% to 75% who are women of childbearing age. That's women who have jobs and raise their family. There's an increase from 20% to 75% of women who have children and go to work. That's a big increase. There's a big increase on women who have wealth. 9.1 million women own their own businesses. So women are business owners. 68% of women who own their own business and 60% of women who are employed eat out with their family at least once a week. And I thought that was an interesting subject because we are eating out more. Who has time to cook? And who has the energy, right? 1.8 million and more have served in the U.S. military. And this was interesting, I thought. The Department of Defense is the nation's largest employer of women. And as I was going through these statistics, I read this and something gripped my heart. It says that the numbers are pretty convincing. And this was from a report of how much money. It said that $3.3 trillion annually are spent by women who work. And so there is a lot behind all this women at work stuff. And it's amazing. But this statement, he says, the numbers are pretty convincing. Does your organization have a plan for sourcing, recruiting, hiring, and retraining female talent, female customers, and women-owned vendors? It looks like to me that the women in the workplace and marketplace are a hugely untapped potential gold mine. And I thought, hallelujah. Now that's from a worldly point of view. But then something struck me in the gut of my stomach that says we are an untapped gold mine for the Lord. There is a release that God is going to give towards working women to bring revival to the workplace. And I believe that with all my heart. And after you're done hearing this, I pray that something just gets in your heart and helps you to focus as to why you go to work. I just want to just give a quick testimony on how I came about to having a really strong heart for working women. Most of my younger years, when I first got married till I moved to Maryland, actually, we were in ministry. My husband was a pastor. So all my focus was in the church. And, you know, I realized after I got out of that position in that ministry, wow, the world is fastly passing by, and I had no idea what was going on in it because I was so busy in the church, which is that's where the Lord had me. But then when we came to Maryland, actually we came because of Thurlow and Linda. We were part of their apostolic ministry doing a church plant, and we thought that's why God had us come to Maryland. And so we started to plant a church, and then in the meantime, my husband had to get a job. So he started a program called Dad's Works, which is a fatherhood program, and it's a county-funded fatherhood program. And so he started that. Well, that thing took off, and we came to realize that we can't do both, that he needed to do Dad's Works or the church, and he really prayed and felt like God called him to do Dad's Works. Well, we were just trying to follow the Lord in all this. Well, when he did that, his ministry continued, and mine stopped. When we ended the church and everything, mine stopped. And you know, looking back now in these past 10 years, I used to say, oh, this is my wilderness coming to Westminster. But God taught me several things. And one of the things is that my identity was in my title and what I was doing. And God says, no, 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 no. Your identity has to be in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Whether we minister, whether we go to work, our identity has to come from Him. So I went to work. Right now I'm a manager at a kiosk, and it's a Starbucks kiosk in our local Safeway store. I have 10 employees. It's one busy place. As you well know, people love their coffee. And if you don't have what they want, you will soon learn how much they love their coffee. It's a wicked world out there. My coworker and I used to laugh. We're like, this is not brain surgery. This is not life and death. But then you realize, wait a minute, to some people this is life and death. If you make the wrong table wrong, you will soon know. And it's just amazing what I've learned out there. But I began, anyway, anything I do, I kind of go with all my heart. And so I went into the workplace, and I was going to have the number one store, and, you know, and number, make it financially number one in the district. And all my focus was on that job. And the Lord began to deal with me because I did make it the number one store, and I was like, so? Okay. You know, but he began to change my heart because he began to deal it with me, and he says, change your focus. Why do you go to work? It's not to have the number one store. It's not to have the highest financial store. My focus needed to be changed. And that's when the Lord started dealing with me. And he just constantly on me, change my focus. Well, the amazing thing is, when I was so striving to have that number one store, I would go to work day in and go day out and honestly not notice a soul around me. I was just so busy doing my job. Customers would come. We have hundreds and hundreds of customers every day. They come and they go, and I just got their coffee. You know, I was just doing my job, and the Lord said, you need to stop and change your purpose and start looking at those around you. And so that's how this was birthed in my heart. And I realized that all the hustle and bustle of life, I was losing my way. it's like I was slipping into a comatose. I think that's the word you use, where you just routinely get up, get ready, go to work, come home, take care of children, take care of grandchildren, you know, and you just do everything day in and day out. You're not even thinking anymore. You just do. And I began to look at my customers, especially the women, and I began to see the look on their faces and the stress they're in and the sadness, you know, and the hurriedness, and everybody's in a hurry. And it just gripped my heart. I said, my God, you know, all this woman's lib, we want equal rights, and we want to be in the workplace, and we want this, and we want that. Now we have it all. We have it all in America. So what? What is it doing to us? We are losing our way as a woman of God. The world is losing. The world has already lost their way. They think that this is what they're striving for, but when they get there, it's empty. It's lost. They fight for their careers. They fight for the power. They fight to have the money. They fight to have equal worth, which, you know, I think you should be paid equally when you do the job. But the point is that that is not the kingdom of God. And there's something about faith arise that is just hitting me, that we need to have that faith arise in us in the workplace. And like Linda said last night, we should look different. We should look different. But when you look around, and I'm talking about my own life, I wasn't looking different. I was just as stressed. I was just as nasty as they could be. Like, you know, I try to be nice at work, and I am. I'm a nice person. But, you know, after 100 people, I went non-fat, one pump, this and that. By the time you get to that 100th one, you're like, what do you want? Make it easy. I hope you just want a cup of coffee, because I've had it. I remember telling one person, they went, just went through their drink real fast. They went, hold up. I said, I am in menopause, and I cannot think. I cannot think. Now, you can start your drink over, please, and start with what size cup do you want? It's hard to explain after a while, all that coming at you all the time. And I was struggling with menopause. I'm like, I can't think like this anymore. I have all these young kids who it's no problem. They remember drinks, but not me. But anyway, God began to deal with me to change my purpose. The meaning of purpose is that which a person sets before himself as an objective to be reached or accomplished, the end or aim to which the view is directed in any plan, measure, or exertion. Purpose always includes the end in view, intended, designed, resolved, to be determined. Okay, so I just want to read, I think I even started with this last year when I spoke. This is one of my favorite verses. Keep your heart, that's Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Ladies, everything's a heart issue. Everything's a heart issue. What we do, why we do it. So my question is this. How do we live as women godly, holy, and spiritual in a non-holy, ungodly, non-spiritual world? When we leave our home, we are entering an ungodly, unholy, and non-spiritual world. How do we live our lives and not be fleshly and carnal when we go to work 8 hours a day in such a fleshly, carnal atmosphere? I was thinking the other day, you know, I work in a grocery store. My kiosk is in a grocery store, and they have music piping in there constantly. And it's like, I have no choice. They decide what music is being pumped in to that store. And, of course, it's ungodly. It's nothing spiritual, and it's very unholy. And I'm like, wow, I have no choice. And so what I want to talk about this morning, that I really believe is from the heart of God, is that Jesus is our biggest example. He came from heaven. He came from where he had everything spiritual. everything holy and everything godly to this earth that was very ungodly, very unholy, and very non-spiritual. Jesus did it. So the Lord, in studying for this, I believe that He showed me this. There's three pillars in His life that He lived by, that we can live by. And I think Jesus, remember, emptied Himself as God and came as man. So He had to live the same way we struggle to live. He had to work it out. I believe Jesus had to work it out. Even though He was fully God and fully man, He still was fully man. And I believe He set the example for us. So, John 1:14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." See, Jesus is our example. So pillar number one is this. He knew who He was and where He came from. That was such a foundational pillar in Jesus' life that no matter what came against Him, He knew who He was and He knew where He came from. John 3:13 says, "No one has ascended to heaven but He who came down from heaven." And He says, John 3:16 says, God gave His only begotten Son. God gave His Son. So Jesus was in heaven. God gave us His Son. John 8:58 says, Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." See, He had, if you read John's really shows us this pillar in His life, because He constantly came back to, "I and the Father are one. I am from the Father. I am from the Father." He had to constantly reaffirm that. And I believe He spoke it because all hell was always coming against Him. Always was coming against Him. And He had to declare who He was. And that's what got the religious people so mad. I mean, at times they would even tear the robes, because He made Himself equal with God. He is the Son of God. And Jesus Himself had to remind Himself, had to declare over and over again, "I am from the Father. The Father and I are one." And then Jesus said in John 6:51, and I'm sorry I'm not giving you time to look these up, but if you can just write them down, because I have so much to share, I'm kind of just going through it. But John 6:51 says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven." Jesus constantly told them who He was. Revelations 1:8 says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." John 8:12 says, "I am the light of the world." Throughout John, I already said that, but John, Jesus constantly said, "I and the Father are one." And then I'm going to read to you John 10:17-18. It says, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. But believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him." And that verse of 18, just really 17 and 18, and then I jumped to John 38, so I'm getting messed up here. But He says, "I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to pick it up again." God gave that to me. God gave that to me. And I'm like, wow. So it wasn't like when Jesus came to earth that He had no choice but to live it out. He had the power to end it at any second. He had the power to take up His life or to lay it down, and He chose to lay it down. I think that's incredible. If I had that kind of power, I don't think I'd be so gracious. I mean, especially on some busy mornings, you know, at work, it's like, wow. But He chose to lay His life down. But He had such a deep pillar in Him that He knew who He was. So nothing could shake Him. And when you read the Bible and you read the New Testament and all that came against Jesus, and all He was about was preaching the gospel and healing the sick and delivering people, setting people free, yet they hated Him. but he came back to the foundation of who he was. He never left that. And I believe that was a strong pillar. The second pillar that Jesus walked in, I believe, is that he knew his purpose. He knew his purpose. Luke 4:17-21, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because I am anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to captives, bring sight to the blind, bring liberty to the oppressed, preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then verse 21 says, "Today this is fulfilled." So Jesus knew his purpose. When he was on the earth, prior to his ministry starting, he was a carpenter. So I'm sure that I wish the Lord would have revealed more in his working days, you know, as he was a carpenter before he entered into full-time ministry, so to speak. But I'm sure that during that time, he probably learned these very things, the pillars of God in his life, the character of God in his life. And so Jesus stuck to his purpose. John, 1 John 3:8 says that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah! Isn't that awesome? He knew his purpose. He knew why he was born. He knew why he was here. He knew where he came from. He knew who his Father was. And then he walked with purpose. He knew his purpose. Mark 1:24 says that a man with an unclean spirit cried out, "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Even the demons knew Jesus came to destroy the devil. Even they did. You ever noticed a couple times when the demons addressed Jesus, it's like, "You came to do it." They knew his purpose. That's amazing to me. But, and of course, Jesus would always silence them. "Be silent. Get away from me." He didn't have time of day for them. This one I love. It says, Luke 19:10, "I came to seek and to save the lost. That's why I'm here," Jesus said. So whenever things arose, and it would take a volume to talk about the things that Jesus went through, and we have the Word of God, you know, and I pray that you would just even search it out, the times that the enemy, which was all the time, coming against him. But one thing that really stuck out to me was the story of John the Baptist when he was beheaded. And that was his beloved cousin. You know, that Jesus loved him. And the way he was beheaded was just, you know, the whole story of that whole thing, you know, a mother and a daughter, and the mother prompted the daughter to dance before the king, and you probably know it probably was this sexual, you know, whatever dance that they do, and the king was thrilled, and the mother put the daughter up to saying, "I want John the Baptist's head," you know, and the king did it. The king had to follow through, and he was beheaded. And just right there, it shows you the power of the enemy in a mother and daughter's life. It's mind-boggling, but we won't go there. But anyway, when they came and told Jesus, Jesus departed and went up into the mountains, and I believe to be with his Father, because I think he was really struck with that. But you know what really hit me is that the people, the crowd, found out where he was, and they went to him. And what did Jesus do? He came down, and he healed the sick. He prayed deliverance. He spoke to the people. That man, Jesus, was probably hurting over how John was killed. I'm sure he had to withdraw. He had to get before God and say, "Wow, you know, wow, that was one of those, you know, unexpected moments," probably. But what struck me is that Jesus knew his purpose. No matter what was happening around him, he was here to bring sight to the blind. He was here to bring light into a dark world. And so he kept going. He kept going. He knew his purpose. And Jesus, just one more scripture I'm going to give on that. Jesus cried out, and this is in John 12, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." And then I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. You see, he was connected to the Almighty God. And like I said, he knew who he was, he knew where he came from, and he knew his purpose. And I really believe the Lord just showed me that that was the foundational principle in his life, in his heart. Even though he was the Son of God, and at one flick of his finger, he could have changed everything, but he laid it down, continually laid it down, because he knew he was here to bring redemption to mankind. So he set everything else aside. Remember at the beginning when Satan offered him fame and glory, and if you bow down to me, I'll give this all to you. And Jesus says, oh, no, 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 no. You don't. I'm not here for that. I'm not here for that. I'm here to do the will of my Father. I'm here to set the captives free. I'm here to heal the brokenhearted. I'm here to bring light to a dark world. I'm here to touch people's lives and bring light so that they don't have to spend eternity in hell. Something kept driving him. And I really believe it's that second pillar too, that pillar of purpose, that he knew why he was here and what he was doing. And then there's one more pillar that I think Jesus lived by that caused him to keep walking day in and day out, is that he knew where he was going. He knew that this world was not his home. He knew that he was from a heavenly kingdom and he is returning to that kingdom. Hallelujah. There's something so powerful in that pillar, because when we get so grounded and so focused and so consumed with this life on this earth, we miss out what God is doing, because we are from a different people. We are from a different race. We are not of this world, the Bible says. We are passing through. And Jesus had to remember that. Jesus had to remember. I love in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God on the throne. Jesus knew, I can keep going, because I know this is not where I am forever. I can keep going. He endured the cross and suffered the shame because he knew what was ahead of him. And I think that's what helped him. I think that's what helped him hang on the cross and suffer the beatings that he did, because he knew where he was going. He knew the work that God gave him to do. He accomplished it, he will accomplish it, and then he is gone home for eternity. He was gone back to heaven. And for the joy that was set before him, I believe Jesus kept his heart and his mind focused on what was set before him. What was set before him. He knew that when he redeemed mankind, his job was done and he was back to go with the Father. But I believe he longed to be with his Father. He loved his Father. And that's where he wanted to be. But not without accomplishing the purpose that God gave him to do. Jesus emptied himself and became a man. He never forgot who he was. He had purpose to fulfill. And when times got tough, he spoke of who he was and spoke of his purpose. And he also spoke of where he would end up. So how does that, those three pillars, how does that translate into our lives? We are just everyday women getting up, going to work. And we live in a world that is not slowly, it is even accelerating in corruption. We live in a world that is becoming very anti-Christ. We live in a world that's becoming very hostile. We live in a world that is becoming very ungodly. And ladies, I would love to be up here and say, you know, cheer up, it'll get better. But I don't believe that. I believe the world is going to get worse. I really do. So how do we live in this? How do we be the women that God called us to be when we leave our home? Or even in the home, how do we live it? But especially when we go out into the workplace and we're there 5, 6, 8 hours a day. How do we live our life? And I just want to submit to you that it's by living in those same three pillars that Jesus lived in. It says that I just want to say, who am I? Where have I come from? You are a daughter of the Most High God. The blood of Jesus has purchased your freedom from sin, guilt, shame, endeavor, sickness, disease, oppression, depression, captivity, deception. That's who you are. Jesus did all that in your life. You don't have to walk in any of that because Jesus paid the price for you to be free, for you to be saved, sanctified, delivered, anything that the enemy can try to put upon you. So when you leave that house in the morning, you're walking out with the confidence that you know who you are. You know who you are. And I'm saying where you came from. We can never forget the before Christ days. You know what I'm saying? We can never forget what Jesus did for us. And that's what prompts us in our everyday life, is we know who we are. And we know what Jesus did for us. We know where we came from. We know that we are the redeemed of the Lord. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have just something in us that should be so strong that we are not ordinary people. We are not the same people out in that world. We're redeemed daughters of God. So when we go into the workplace, we are redeemed. We don't have to, and everything that comes at us, whether it be the bosses, the employees, the, you know, our fellow co-workers, whatever the enemy, and believe me, he stirs up something. He's good at that. But whatever he stirs up, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you and died for you and gave his life for you. So that what should rise up in you, and I don't know how to stress this, and I don't think it's only for just working women. I think it's for all of us in general. I think it's going to become critical that we got to get this. We have to know who we are. Because I remember there was a time when just life was so busy and I was just getting into a state of, you know, just, I didn't know if I was coming or going and, you know, kind of losing my way. And I remember that I came to a point where I had to come back to, because I was hearing so much too from different religions and different thoughts, even in our own Christianity, the way people think about things and what people say is, and I was in such confusion, and I had to bring myself back to the point, I'm saved. I'm saved. I don't understand everything, but I'm saved. I'm saved. I just remember, I was sitting at the table, I thought, Lord, I'm losing it. I'm losing my way. I don't know what's of you anymore sometimes. You know, where I thought Jesus was enough, now you hear even in the Christian realm, well, you need this and that, and you got to get on medication for that, and you got to do that, and I'm not against any of that. But you know what I'm trying to say? It's becoming mucky. Things aren't as clear. And I had to come back to the point. Okay, I'm going to just start with I'm saved. I know who I am. I know what Jesus did for me. So it's very important to get that pillar in your life that if you have to come back to that very simple fact that you are a daughter of God and you're saved, that's enough right there to change everything. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I have for you, to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. See, God has placed every one of us into work jobs, into our homes, into, you know, what we're doing in life. He's gifted us. We all have talents. We all have abilities. Those are from God. So it's not like, you know, we're not supposed to be doing that. God has placed that in you. But I think one of the greatest things that probably church has, in a negative way, when people get saved, they come into the body of Christ, and we spend all their time teaching and instructing them how to operate in the church. You want your ministry, you want to have a Bible study, you know what I'm saying? We're constantly pulling them to do a ministry in the church, which I believe is the Lord, I'm not saying that. But I think we neglect it to show them that your ministry is out in the world. The giftings and the talents that God has given you is not only for within that building of those four walls of that church, but that He placed in you so that when you enter the world, you're taking your giftings, your abilities, and your talent, and you're using it for God's glory. Zacharias, in 1 Peter, it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. But you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness. That's another purpose you have, that you're to show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness. So whoever God made you to be, however He's gifted you, whatever job you're in, I kind of like to look at it like this, is that, you know, what we do is not who we are. What we do gets us to that place. But once we're in that place, we become who we are. Isn't that exciting? It's like secret cells. You know, I've heard one time that terrorist groups will bring people into a nation and they'll just blend in and act like, you know, everything's fine. And then when the time comes, bam, they, you know, become who they are. And he's like, that's cool. I think us Christian women should be like that. You know, God's gifted us. It gets us to the place of where we are in our workplace. But that's not who we are. Then we become who we are. We're Christians. We want to take our workplace for Christ. That's our purpose, to be there. Let me see. Okay. In Matthew 5:13, and if everybody would turn there, please, Matthew 5:13. I think Jesus said it all in this verse. What's that? Matthew 5:13. 5:13. Yeah. Matthew 5:13. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. In Acts 26:18, it says, I will send you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's your purpose. That's our purpose. Why we do what we do. Why we go to work. It's not to make money. It's not to be have fame and glory and power that so many people strive for in this world. Our purpose as women of God in the workplace is to shine light into a dark place. That's our purpose. And how we do it, God uses us in all different ways. But He placed you, He gifted you, and He put you in the job you are in. Even though that what I do is not my dream job, believe me. But you know what? God has me there. He won't let me leave. And I don't think He's going to let me leave until I get this. So I'm going to get this. So I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But do you understand what I'm saying? The purpose. Why we do what we do. It has to be a pillar. We have to come back to the craziness of this world. We have to have that foundation of, wait a minute, I know I am there for a purpose. And that is to bring the light to a dark world. Ladies, there are so many people dying and going to hell. And we're just too darn busy to notice or to care. You know, it's like sometimes when you get so busy, you lose that heart of compassion and that heart to care. And God wants us to come back to that pillar of purpose, that we are here to preach the gospel. We're here to lay hands on the sick. We're here to bring light to a dark world. That's our purpose also. The very purpose that Jesus came. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Whose minds of the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The God of this age, who is Satan, has blinded people. He's blinded them. You guys start seeing it like that. These people are blinded. They don't know. Unless you share, unless you let your light shine, they are in darkness and they don't even know it. That's the sad part. They don't even know it. When I look at some of these women on their faces, and I have customers that come every day, and you know, just the stress I see in their lives, and you know, when I'll say, how are you? And they just start, they start sharing. It's amazing how what people will share getting their coffee. But the heartache and the pain that they're all in, I'm like, oh God, use me. I want to be a light in that workplace. I want to be, you. I know that God's called me and gifted me to minister to women. There's no doubt in my heart. I know that's my purpose. But you know what? I can do that in the workplace. I can do that wherever God places me. See, I had to get past that mindset that I can only do that when I'm in the church. God says, no. I called you and I gifted you to send you out into the world. And you can use that same calling, that same gifting, right in your workplace. There's a purpose. And you know, God, I just started opening doors. I now do a Bible study with women at my workplace. It's awesome. It's awesome. And now these women, and we've been together about a year and a half, and, you know, just pouring the Word of God in them. These are unchurched women who, now several of them go to church, but it's like they're so hungry. They're so hungry for God. But now they're seeing their workplace as a mission field. And we get together and we pray for Safeway. We're taking Safeway for Jesus. We're taking Safeway for Jesus. We as a group are becoming together as one, and we're declaring that the light will shine in that dark place. And we're just seeing so many awesome things happen. I mean, God is just so cool. But it really was a transformation in my mind. And I do believe with all my heart that God wants to get this message to working women, that okay, you're there, but please, God is saying, please, the purpose of you is not to bring in money. God is our provider. He will provide the finances. In fact, in Haggai, it says, you work and you work, and it goes into bag with holes. And you work until you, and you have nothing. Do you ever feel like that? My God, I work so much, and there's nothing in this paycheck. It's like, and he says, and actually Haggai, the prophet Haggai, was correcting the people. He says, because you have left my house unbuilt. You have neglected the temple of God. And in many ways, we do that. We go to church on Sunday, and we do our, you know, Sunday duty, and we do ministry of some sort, but then we go to work, and we just forget who we are, we forget what our purpose is, and we forget where we're going, because we're just like everyone else, doing our job, trying to survive in this world. And I believe there's an anointing God is going to place on working women, that we're secret selves, and we're going to bring revival to the workplace. If you get a hold of, oh God, I pray you get a hold of this. How many different workplaces do we have represented here? I mean, how many, everybody that is probably here works, right? I mean, just think about it. Your job, your job, your job. Something ignites in you, and you believe, and you start beginning to pray and ask God to show you people. Give me a plan. How can I bring the light into this place? And all these places become on fire for God. I believe God's going to bring revival through working women. And that might sound silly, but the world thinks that they can tap into a gold mine of working women. I think God has another plan for his daughters. I mean, we are so used to being women who thought should stay at home, and you know what, maybe we should, I don't know, I'm not even going to address that, because I don't know, but I do know this, we're at work, we're there, so why not, by golly, while we're there, why not take it for Jesus, amen, and I just pray that God will give you that heart, but, you know, Jesus says we're the light of the world, but wait till you hear this, this is like, wow, the Lord just gave me a revelation, I never saw this in the Bible before. They started studying, but he says, you're the salt of the world. You're the salt. So I looked up salt, and salt is a preservative preventing corruption. Salt is a preservative that prevents corruption. Okay? Salt was also a recognized symbol in covenant ceremonies for covenant, and the hope for the relationship to endure. With salt and without yeast and honey, the worshippers were to express their appreciation for the eternal covenant the Lord has established with them, and to express renewed dedication to be faithful in Him. And of course, we know salt also adds taste. Okay? So there's two things I want to show you about salt. Number one, it's a preservative preventing corruption. That's who you are. You are preventing corruption. When you go to that workplace, you're the salt of the earth, the Bible says. You are you being used of God to hold back corruption. Hold back corruption. You know, if God would take us all out, the Holy Spirit left, it would be a week before everybody would be destroyed, because corruption is what happens when the light is removed. And if it wasn't that when you go into that workplace, ladies, I pray you get a hold of this, that when you walk into your workplace, you're holding back corruption. That's what the Bible says who you are. You're the salt of the earth, holding back corruption. And then the second agent of salt is that it's a commitment of hope and relationship to endure. You bring hope, and you are, when Jesus says you're the salt of the earth, you not only hold back corruption, but you bring hope of a lasting covenant of Jesus Christ. You have a covenant with the Almighty God. You have a covenant with the Almighty God. That when things go crazy in your life, and things at work don't make sense, and maybe you were hoping for a promotion, and that didn't happen, or maybe your co-workers are talking about you, or being nasty, or planning a plot against you, whatever is going on, you are two things. You've got corruption holding back, and you also are hope of the lasting covenant of Jesus Christ. That is powerful. That is powerful. That's who we are. That's who we are. And I just want to give you one quick example. Lot's wife. Remember the story of Lot? And the Lord says, I want you, he was taking them out because destruction and judgment was coming to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he instructed them, go. Don't look back. Keep going. Don't look back. But Lot's wife looked back. And what did she become? Pillar of salt. I said, Lord, why did she become a pillar of salt? And you know what he spoke to me? I mean, this, it's not in the Bible, but this is what the Lord, he said, because that's who she was supposed to be. She's a pillar, she was supposed to be a pillar of salt. And maybe she was. I looked at, like, in the commentaries and, like, some of the Hebrew stuff, it says Lot's wife, as the custom, walked behind Lot. That was the custom back then. You never walked with your husband, you walked behind him. But she kept looking back steadily, wistfully, and with desire. As the Hebrews indicate, perhaps she could not believe anything could happen to the lovely home she had. She had undoubtedly spent time and money decorating it and preparing for the weddings of her two daughters. They were supposed to get married. Her heart was still back in Sodom and further behind Lot. So when Lot reached Zoar, she was closer to Sodom than the little city they were going to. She kept looking back. She kept looking back. And see, as believers, we have a choice. We are the salt of the earth, and we have to be willing to leave behind this world, its ways, its system, what it presents to us. We desperately need a revelation to come out. We need to be separate from this world system, but yet live in it and be the light and salt of the earth. And salt and Lot's wife, you know, I just believe God revealed to me that she was trying to hang on, and you can't do both. You can't do both. He wanted her to be the salt of the earth, and when her flesh burned, that's what was there. And you know, we have a choice, ladies, and I pray to God that you get these three pillars so grounded and so founded in your life that you know who you are and you know where you came from, that you know your purpose. And you know, A lot of books and teachings and everything has been on, you know, what's your purpose, what's your purpose. Sometimes we go into great angst as to what our purpose is. And I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt, you can leave this room today knowing your purpose. Now maybe you need to pray and be seeking God where to be in life, but wherever you are, your purpose is to bring light to a dark and dying world. And one of the verses talks about the end times. It says, but for the deceitfulness that abounds, the love of many will wax cold. And I remember, just, you know, life can do that. It hardens your heart. And I remember saying to the Lord, I thought I loved people, but you know, God, I really don't. I don't care. I don't have time to care. And frankly, I'm too tired to care. And I remember being at a conference talking about the kingdom of God and taking the kingdom of God out into the world. And there was a prophecy, and it said that God's heart was broken over the lost, and that he wanted to give us his heart for the lost. And I'm like, I want it. I want it, Lord. I need my love fired up in me, because in and of myself, I can't love people. In and of myself, I can't respond to people in a correct way. In and of myself, I have nothing to give. But Jesus, if you live in me, if you work through me, if you become, I decrease and he increases, as I walk into that workplace in the morning, I have a plan and a purpose. I am not so concerned, although I do a good job, and my work still does kind of consume me because there's a lot to it, but it's just all a new focus. Lord, who do you want to bring my way today? Who can I talk to today? Who can I pray for today? I constantly tell my customers, you know, when they bring up something, what is your name? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray, and I do right then. It's like, Lord Jesus, you know, not, I don't grab their hand right then, but as they're walking away, I pray for them. And I just so much want to be a light to the world. And you know, it's funny, Starbucks is really big. They drill in your head on giving every customer a Starbucks experience. Oh my God, please. But I'm not kidding. That is their vision. That is their purpose. They drill it into us managers that when you walk into Starbucks, they want you to have this great experience. And I'm like, Lord, and I'm still in the process, Lord, when people walk into my chaos, what I want them to experience is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because that coffee holds nothing to what Jesus can do in your heart and what Jesus can do in your life. And I'm praying, I'm like, God, I want people to walk in my store and I lay hands on them and they recover. I want to pray for the sick and they recover. I want Jesus to move in a mighty way in my little store, that people will know that Jesus is Lord. That people will know that when I walk into that workplace, there the kingdom of God is. Because wherever we walk, there the kingdom of God goes. Wherever we walk, there the kingdom of God. Ladies, I pray that you get those three pillars deep in your heart. Just go home, pray about it. Go over scriptures of who you are. Don't let it leave you. Because we're coming into a time that says in the end times that selfishness will abound. And people are just, the Antichrist spirit is going to get worse and worse and worse. But what a time for us women of God, because we will shine. We will shine. We will shine. But we cannot shine if we let the world have our heart. We cannot shine if we look back like Lot's wife, desiring, oh, I wish I could have my home back. I wish, you know, and at first I'm like, God, wouldn't we all do that? I mean, we're women. We love to decorate our homes and everything. But the Lord says, maybe one day that was okay, but, you know, as Daniel knew his times, I believe a prophetic word right now is coming out of me, and it's that you've got to be willing to let go and follow God with all your heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. I'm not saying you can't have homes and nice things, but if they have you, it's going to take you. If they have you, you're not going to make it to the end, because God is preparing an army. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be sitting on the sideline. I want to be one of those women who has my sword and my Bible in my hand. I want to be one of those women who's marching through this land with deliverance. I want to be one of those women who's so full of Jesus that the world around me sees God. That's what I want. But also, I do know that there's a price to be paid to walk in that, and that your flesh dies. You become nothing so that He can become everything. But what a glorious, again, that pillar of knowing where you're going. Can you imagine spending your whole life doing and being and the titles and the money and the fame and fortune? You spend your whole life only for at the end for it all to get burned up. And you look back. I've heard stories of older people when they were dying. They look back and they're like, wow, I didn't have relationships with my family because I was too busy. Or I missed out on so much. And when it comes to the working world, the enemy has a purpose and a plan to destroy people. But God is raising up a mighty army in the workplace. Amen. Hallelujah. To bring revival, to bring deliverance, and what the devil's meant for evil, God is turning it to good. And God is turning it to good. So as you leave here today, I just want to end with one scripture. And Jesus prayed this. I thought, that is so cool how Jesus just prayed this prayer. And this is John 17. And it's a long one, so bear with me. And I know I got to hurry it up. After Jesus said this, He looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those who you have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore, but I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth of your word. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that they, all of them, may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ladies, as you walk into your workplace and you take those three pillars, you know who you are, you know your purpose, and you know where you're going. You can go with the confidence that Jesus abides in you. The Word says the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. And I pray this morning that you will get on your knees at some point in the next days and weeks ahead and say, Lord, change my purpose. Change why I do what I do. And let me bring glory and praise to my workplace. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll end with Jesus' prayer. Amen. Have a blessed day.